football on off the ball.
You know, care too much about the state of Scottish football. Like, I want to see entertaining stuff, and it was entertaining regardless of the outcome at the weekend. And Celtic happened to win, and I know people, a lot of people who support Celtic, so I was happy to see them happy.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we look back on a huge weekend of European rugby as both Leinster and Ulster come up short. There's a return of an Irish number 10 to these shores as Carberry confirms his route back to Leinster, and Cheslin Kobe confirms his return back to South Africa. Leinster were beaten 41-19 by Bordo Begle at San Mamés in Bilbao on Saturday afternoon in the Champions Cup final. It's a fifth defeat in the final for Leinster since the last of their four titles in 2018. And while those previous final losses were competitive matches decided on fine margins, this is no such thing. Leo Cullen's side had no answers for the pace and skill of their opponents, whose relentless energy under the blazing sun left Leinster chasing shadows in the first half as they carved up Jack Nienaber's defence for five tries in the half before cruising their way to a second Champions Cup title. After the game, speaking to our own Susanna Mullen, Leinster captain Caelan Dara said that the French side were just too good for them, especially in that opening period.
Okay, Caelan, commiserations. How are you feeling after that?
Pretty good. I think, yeah, firstly, I want to credit Bordeaux. I mean, they were pretty special in that first half. We've watched them and, yeah, looked into a lot of their attack over the last number of weeks and seen the threats that they have and the danger they can cause. So a big focus was obviously the contact area. I don't think we managed that well enough in the first half, allowed them to get over the game line repeatedly, and with that they've got too much pace and dangerous threats, and they capitalise very well. Some of the kick battles and scraps, and obviously the intercept as well. So they kind of had a few moments where they compounded positives. Proud of the effort of the boys in the second half. I think the message at halftime was a bit of a theme of the season has been finding a way and composure to claw ourselves back in when we've been behind in games throughout the season, and there was obviously a lot of effort to do that in the second half, but too tall a mountain to climb, and full credit to them.
Just how big of a factor was the heat? Because it can't be denied that they're a team from the south of France. Obviously they were excellent today, but that must have been really difficult conditions to play in.
Yeah, it was tough, and I think when you're absorbing a good bit of pressure in your own half and kind of receiving kicks and trying to chase back, it's hard to get your attack going. So the heat's probably a factor, but there's a lot of things in our control that we could have done much, much better. So, yeah, it's not purely down to that by any stretch of imagination.
Sorry, I'm looking at my notes here. It's obviously five in a row that you've lost now, and I think some fans are going to be disappointed, angry, as they always are, after these kind of big losses, and they're going to be calling for change. What would you kind of say to them, the people who might be asking for those kind of things?
I admire the resilience of the group to get back to this stage. It's an incredibly hard competition to win. We've obviously been knocking on the doors a lot, and I'm sure they're seeing the quality we have, but it's an incredibly hard competition to win, and to be in the latter stages again and again and again and keep coming back each year is, I admire the resilience in the group, and I'm sure we're going to come back again stronger next year.
Former Leinster out-half Andy Dunn joined our own Dara Smith-Nocton in the immediate aftermath, and he feels that Leinster caused many of their own problems.
To me, there's a rigidity in Irish coaching, a slavishness, to say we will always work hard, we'll always play possession football, we'll always hold possession, and more often than not we'll be successful. Well, we will against the Dragons and the Scarlets when no one's watching in the URC, but when it comes to knockout rugby, it's like everyone else has worked out that less possession, better kicking, disciplined defence, a good line-out and a good scrum is generally enough. And we keep doggedly going out and trying harder, and we don't need to. We've actually got the raw materials, and we just need to think better.
You mentioned we did a live show kind of earlier in the day, and you mentioned about the kicking game plan, and that you didn't want to see box kicks up into the air creating chaos. That's what we saw in the first half, and Bordeaux definitely capitalised off the back of it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, people maybe coming away from that game will remember the flair of Bordeaux and the breakaway speed and tries. They kicked the ball 30% more than Leinster. So, that's a simple stat. Jalabert kicked it almost every time he got it in the second half. Now, they were 35 points up. For me, you know, Floyd Mayweather springs to mind. The great boxer, the undefeated boxer. He was never the biggest hitter in his division. He wasn't the biggest physically. He certainly wasn't the most powerful. But he was tactically the best, and he never got beaten. And, you know, he avoided getting hit. Leinster were shooting themselves in the foot on repeat. Individual, unforced errors. The pattern that really grated with me was the refusal to take a kick at goal. And if you're going to do that with the history, the immediate history in cup finals for Leinster, and you're going to opt for the line-out, they didn't get a single jumper off the deck and lost the line-out. And the game changed. You could see the momentum shift. Bordeaux held them out. The cameras went to the Bordeaux management on their feet. It panned around the stadium. Every supporter was on their feet. You're talking about massive momentum shifts in small moments, as opposed to just knocking the kick over, running back, conserving energy, putting points on the board in knockout rugby. And that's a repeat error in cup finals by the same group. That puzzles me.
And if you want to listen to that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Rugby podcast feed. Also, on this evening's Monday Night Rugby, Andy Dunn and Gerry Thorney will join Owen Sheehan to look back at the weekend's action. Hugh Farrelly and Cliona Foley joined Adrian Barry on yesterday's Sunday pay-per-view. And with much conjecture around the coaching staff, Farrelly says that Cullen has done sterling work for the province.
I think Leo Cullen is one of the finest people I've ever encountered in rugby. And I don't say that lightly. I've met a lot of people who acted up. He's always been a gentleman. I think what he's done for the province, I would personally give him another year, like last dance job.
And
like,
he has another year.
He has another year.
He certainly in his interviews afterwards was talking like a man.
He's earned the right.
Around.
Yeah. This guy captained the province. No, that's not relevant to the coaching, but he captained the province to 3 years. This is the guy who replaced Martin Johnson in Leicester and was revered over there, like as a player and as a coach. Okay, they haven't got over the line, but if you look at their record, I mean, you know, maybe people say, oh, Roy Keane would say you're kind of praising underachievement, but... You know, Leinster, final point, Leinster are slagged off for having this multi-resourced, all this.
Yeah.
And they are based in Dublin and they do have all the advantages that go with that. But they're generating homegrown talent. It's not unusual for Leo Cullen to pick a squad of 23 Irish players.
Yeah.
Which has in turn led to the Ireland team a period of unprecedented success. He doesn't get credit for that.
And that is available for you to listen back to in your OTB Daily podcast feed now. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. And remember to click follow in your OTB Rugby feed to never miss a thing. Cullen also said that Kieran Frawley's departure from the province at the end of the season, former Munster and Leinster number 10 Joey Carby will return from Bordeaux.
So just saw Joey Carby out there as well. So Joey on the flip side is coming in.
He did add a lot of pace in the second half and, as I said, brought the ball to the line. He's only got a couple of games left in a Leinster jersey. Will he be a big loss at the end of the season?
Listen, we tried to keep Kieran. There's no secret of that, although just saw Joey Carberry out there as well. So Joey, on the flip side, is coming in. And obviously he's at Bordeaux, not a beret, what would you call it, like a cravat there. So, that's the way it goes sometimes. Listen, we would try to keep Kieran in the club earlier in the season, but listen, he's made that decision. We respect his decision. And we've some good quality tens. You know, see Harry started today. We've Sam, who's played lots of big games for us as well, and we'll continue to get better. And everyone just needs to keep pushing each other on.
Is that confirmed that Joey's coming in?
Not confirmed, but yes. You at some point that will get released, yes.
And Carby confirmed it in the aftermath.
I was just chatting to Leo a couple of minutes ago and he kind of let it slip that you might be returning to Leinster next season. Is that something you're allowed to talk about?
If he's saying it, then yeah, I suppose it is. But I'm not sure if it's confirmed, but looking forward to coming back.
It must have been weird out there today then, looking at a team that you might be seeing a return and a future with, but then also obviously you're in Bordeaux colours and you're happy for them.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a weird, strange one, but haven't been involved, I suppose, in half the games for Bordeaux. It's great to win with the boys. I'm very disappointed not to be out there today, but it's great to see them go out and do it.
When you reflect on your time with them, obviously it's difficult, as you said, not to be out there today, maybe not to have been involved last season, but still be part of the team. Do you look back with happy memories on your time with Bordeaux?
Yeah, definitely. It's a great place to come and play. For me, as an experience, it's been eye-opening to how these guys operate and see how just a different way of playing, and obviously it's a very successful way of playing, so hopefully I can bring some stuff home with me.
What kind of things would that be if you, obviously not give away all their secrets, but what are maybe some of the biggest learnings you've taken from your time in France?
I just think the way they play is they just play what's in front of them and back themselves 100%. They know that if they get the ball against someone one-on-one that they're going to back them. So it's for me, it's refreshing to see and to play with these guys.
Jalivert as well, obviously you're in competition with him all the time and you have equally incredible skills, but it must be insane to just train with him, the looseness he brings and the chaos he brings to every training and game.
There's a looseness and chaos, but there's also a lot of reason why behind why he does it. Like majority of the time it works out because he's seen it two or three phases before, so for him to see how he plays and also just the confidence he plays with, for me it's given me a lot to be like, look, you see something, you try something, you don't worry about what a coach is going to say or give out to you. So it's great to have that really and to see it in firsthand.
Are you excited to be moved back to Ireland, like on a personal side, family and all of that, but then also on a rugby side?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's obviously great to be away and experience something else, but it's also nice to be coming home.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you next season.
Leinster will now turn attention to next Saturday's URC quarterfinal with the Lions at the Aviva Stadium. It was a poor weekend for the Irish sides in European finals and it began on Friday after Ulster were thumped 59-26 by Montpellier, also in Bilbao in the Challenge Cup final. Ulster's 20-year wait for silver will continue on, whilst Montpellier will target a European and top 14 double over the next few weeks. After the game, centre James Hume said it was a really disappointing defeat to be a part of.
We're sorry. That's just, yeah, it's heartbreaking to be honest. You know, we got so up for it and fans are here, the build up was so good and had such a good feeling leaving the hotel and just nothing. We weren't good enough, unfortunately. A lot of barriers in our game, very tough conditions. Very upset, very frustrating. You know, like the support was amazing, like you scanned the crowd at the end. There's so many people I knew, family there, best mate, everyone's girlfriends and family, and it just makes it so much harder that we put such a disappointing performance out there and couldn't bring anything home, and then watching them lift the trophy, just heartbreaking. You know, if you're looking at the bright side of it, there's a lot of players in the change room, it's a young side, that could be beneficial for us moving forward. But you know, when you take a step back and you look, like it looks like we had a good season, but ultimately we missed Champions Cup next year. We've just lost the final to get us in the Champions Cup for next year, so we're exactly where we were last year, unfortunately. And you know, it may seem like good effort and well, job well done, but you know, we haven't really moved from where we went to. You know, there's a lot of bright signs, obviously. Some of the tries we score, you know, we can score tries against any opposition at any time, but you know, if you're putting a performance like that out in the final, you're not going to win.
You're obviously so disappointed. I'm sure there's a load of disappointed Ulster fans as well who've made the trip over here. I know it's hard, but would you have anything to say to them, to the ones you travelled over?
Yeah, like I said to the staff and the players, that, you know, Handy and Stu, Squish and Jacob, who've been here longer than I have as well and didn't get to play, like, we're sorry. It's just not an acceptable performance to be putting out there. I just couldn't stop looking at the scoreboard at the end. It was just gutting. It's not what we came here to do at the end of the day, but we really, really appreciate the support. Yeah, sorry.
Thanks so much.
Whilst captain Nick Timoney said that both him, the players and the coaching staff are really lucky to have had the support they've had from the fans all season.
I would say we're unbelievably grateful for the support we have. Genuinely the feeling this week was, as Richie said, unbelievable. Doesn't for a second go unnoticed to the people spending hard-earned money and travelling and finding all different ways to get here and come in their colours and make noise. We're so lucky. I feel so lucky to play for this team, and we're gutted we didn't do a better job tonight of giving something back, I guess, but their support definitely doesn't go unnoticed, and we feel like we're building something, we feel like we're going in the right direction, and it feels like they can sense that, and it's a tough season now when you look at it, but our support hasn't wavered at all, so I'm just incredibly grateful. Yeah.
And Murphy added that it's gutting to miss out in the top eight of the URC, meaning their season is now over.
Would you have anything to add to that?
I think Nick has covered it
pretty well. They've made a massive difference, I suppose, to this weekend over here. You can see them in and around the city and how much they've added to the atmosphere. They've been incredible wherever we've been this year, home in the Affidea, and when we've been away on the road, they followed us everywhere. And the support for the team hopefully will continue that way. We're bitterly disappointed, and they will be too. But if they stick with us, we'll have better days.
And Murphy added that is gutting to miss out in the top eight of the URC, meaning their season is now over.
Yeah, we're gutted. We're gutted to miss out in the top eight, but it is what it is, and we can't really concentrate on that now. You know, as I say, 52 points has never not got in before. 50 points has never not got in. So, you know, you could look at our season and decide. People will decide whether it's good or bad, but we feel like we're moving in the right direction. And you know, an experience like tonight, albeit tough, it can also be used as a driver to get better going forward.
For years, South African rugby fans watched Cheslin Colby light up stadiums across Europe and Japan, wondering whether one of the country's most electrifying talents would ever return home. Now, that return is officially happening. The double World Cup winning Springbok winger has confirmed that he will head back to South Africa after signing a deal with the Stormers, bringing one of modern South African rugby's biggest names back to Cape Town. The confirmation arrives on Monday morning through an emotional social media post where Colby opens up about the difficult decision to leave Tokyo after three successful seasons in Japan. That is about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. We'll be back with more tomorrow.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.